Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
And welcome back to Mental Health Monday. We're here for another week. It's another time of day for a Monday when we sit down and we talk about mental health issues. That's what the show is all about. We do it live on the radio at this time, or if you're listening on the podcast, we also do it as a podcast. You'll know about that because you've downloaded it. Check us out via the Radio City Talk website, radiocitytalk.co.uk. You can click on a link there, and we're also up and about on social media too, at Radio City Talk. Thank you to everybody who's been getting involved in the show, emailing their stories, coming up with suggestions for topics to talk about. We always appreciate all your correspondence. My email address never changes. It's mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. If you've got a story that you want to share, absolutely get involved in the show. We could be talking to you on this very programme. If not, give you a mention events that you're taking part in, and so on and so forth. I did get an email through from the Beyond Recovery team. They've been putting together a mental health booklet, and I got a copy of the booklet through, and I thought, what a great idea to get these guys on the show and to talk about it. So we're going to hear about their own experiences and how they go about putting the booklet together and the sort of help that it can offer to people. We're joined in the studio by Dominic Martin and Mark Webster from the Beyond Recovery team. Dominic, Mark, thank you for your time. Great to see you. Dominic, I'm going to start with you. How did you get involved in mental health work?
Yeah, well, it originally started with an employment advisor I had at the Richmond Fellowship. And she said one of the people she was working with was putting together a booklet to do with mental health and creativity. So it all began there, really. And I met with Mark in, I think, 2013. And we started to get the ball rolling, really, and it's all grown from there.
So what was the original idea?
I think it was to do a book just to do with mental health and recovery and creativity, but then as things progressed, we realized it would be more cost effective to do a booklet and to distribute it on a wider scale than a book would be.
Mark, so how do you fit into the story, Mark?
Well, it was kind of early 2012 when I started the project. Basically, I was with a couple of friends in FACT in Liverpool, and just got talking to them and sort of started saying a little bit about some of the ideas I'd had. I mean, originally a friend from school had said to me, why don't you write about, you know, your own experiences of, because I was unwell at university, so in a few years after that, got involved with Mind over in Wirral, which I started starting to see a bit of progress myself in terms of moving myself forward and developing from the experiences that I'd had. And then I just sort of thought, well, why not try and do an anthology of some descriptions, you know, poetry, artwork, written work, provide information about useful services and books that people could gain access to. So, yes, as I say, it was early 2012 that I spoke to a couple of friends, started to get the ball rolling. And then, as Dominic's mentioned, in 2013, I met with him and it's kind of grown from strength to strength from there.
It's quite an eclectic set of work, isn't it, Dominic? If you look at the sort of thing that you're going into as well, it's various different things, various different ways. You've got, for instance, musicians talking about, you know, 10 tracks, which he believes are sort of good for his own kind of mental health as well. There's stories in there as well, musings, you know, people sort of, you know, there's all sorts of different things. Do you have like a set agenda, what you want from people?
No, I think that was a conscious effort on our behalf to say that we weren't going to be prescriptive about what people could submit, so anything that they felt would benefit the booklet was given free rein, and we don't have a particular editorial policy. We try and be as open as possible and include everything we can, really. And the fortunate thing is we have a whole bank of material that we still haven't used, and that's only going to grow and grow. So we're in a good position moving forward that we can, we're almost ready to roll for the next one. We've got, you know, 20 or 30 articles still that we haven't used. And we're just looking forward to how we move forward and see what we can do.
People don't hold back, do they, with these articles of the things that they write, the way that they talk. You know, people have their own experiences of mental health, but, you know, some people have gone, you know, people who've been sectioned, people who've been given various, you know, medications and things like that. You know, there's a whole scale of people to people who just have downtime, down periods as well. Big scale of types of people, types of mental health issues that people have been dealing with.
Yeah, I think it covers the full spectrum, really. And, you know, there's the more severe illnesses and the less severe illnesses all get equal airtime. And as you say, there's people who bare their soul and reveal things that they would otherwise not do. And we try and, well we do offer anonymity to each person that submits something. So that gives people, you know, the ability to really, really let go and you know, reveal these articles. And I think, you know, that's the big benefit of it, really.
Mark, in terms of the where people are at when they contribute to the work that you're doing, are they at different stages along their own mental health journey? Because depending on where you're at, offers you a different outlook, if you like, as to how you perceive that mental health. So do you ask people when they contribute sort of where they're up to, how they're feeling, or do you take it at face value and let the reader sort of decide for themselves?
We don't really ask where people are at in terms of their own progress when they first submit. But as you say, we kind of just say wherever people are happy to contribute, they're more than willing to contribute. I mean, for example, in terms of my own experiences, when I first started the project in 2012 and started writing then, I was probably in a much worse position than I am currently. So when I was writing then, I think it was, you know, a certain perspective would have come across, a certain outlook then would have come across, whereas now I feel in a much more optimistic mood, I would say. I mean, for example, an article I wrote about a year ago was about hope, which is one of the really important messages to get across, I would say, hope and positivity and also, you know, creativity as well. That's kind of our tagline with our recent booklet. But, you know, as you say, I think it just depends wherever anyone's at on their kind of road to recovery. It's more than welcome to be submitted.
I'm pleased you mentioned that, because the Hope article is the one that I'm looking at. We mentioned that it was, you put these on anonymously, but it was that was the one that stood out to me. And the reason I asked the question, there's a poem that sits with it, but the opening line of the paragraph that comes alongside it: hope is very important in mental health and is a key recovery principle. It's the belief that people can become well after experiencing mental health distresses and go on to stay well. This is very much where the ideas and skills that can be developed in a wellness recovery action plan come in. We can all take steps to improve our wellness and take steps to maintain our well-being, but also to do things to stop our well-being deteriorating. You go on to say, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, there are sometimes no easy answers in life, but with hope and each day being the chance to begin afresh, we can do more to improve our daily lives and move towards increased happiness and well-being. It's the reason that stood out for me is because I thought there might be some people who might see that and then think, well, hope is an idea which some people find it hard to get to grips with. That's one of the issues that they might be dealing with as well, which is why I asked about sort of the journey that you've been on, that as you've gone through, there's the opportunity to see that hope, and that actually might be something for some people to grab onto.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, as I've said in the article, you know, there are unfortunately no easy answers. However, I do believe that, you know, you can go from a position where you're not in a very good place to a much better place, but I would say ultimately it's not an overnight job. I mean, for example, I was first unwell in 2004 when I was 19 years old, and now I'm 32, and it's taken all that time to go from kind of a really not very good place where I was in hospital to a much better place now, where I'm kind of generally, touch wood, doing okay, and long may it continue. But for me, I think a big part of the process which has given me hope has been going to some local mind over in Wirral, accessing different services. For example, Advocacy in Wirral, which used to run over in Wirral, was very helpful as well. Doing lifelong learning courses as well, not just in mental health, but other subjects as well. So I think education is, for me, a really important, not just in mental health, but also it's one of the, it's called the 5 ways to well-being, which I think is really important. Keep on learning as you go throughout life, really, because I think the more you can kind of learn about any subject, but, you know, mental health included, of course, is kind of knowledge is power, I would say. And just keep on learning, keep on trying to learn, develop personal development, learn about psychology, maybe get books out of the library or, you know, access courses about it. That's that sort of thing. I mean, that's been my route forward, really, has been education about a whole variety of different topics, really. And just, you might not find the sort of unique recipe to start off with, but then it might be one thing you'll try won't work, but then the next thing may work. It's just very hard to say exactly what will work, but I mean, I think just keep on trying different things over and over and eventually find something that does the job and helps you move forward. So for me personally, I think meditation is a really good thing because it helps you think a little bit less. And also I just think it helps keep myself calm. And, you know, I found meditation myself over the last 3 or 4 years to be, you know, really, really beneficial. Do a course at Wirral Mind and also another course in Hoylake.
Good stuff.
I find it really great.
Mark Webster's with us and Dominic Martin from the Beyond Recovery team. They put together a booklet of mental health stories and ideas, some poems, and them. It's a quite eclectic sort of bit of artwork that's thrown into the mix as well. People can check that out. We'll give all your details out and things like that, and we'll put our social media up with all the Beyond Recovery links in there too. Dominic, you know, Mark's stories there, you know, how important is it you got somebody like Mark who's there and able to sort of give you a grasp, if you like, how worthwhile all this is?
Yeah, I mean, meeting Mark, so that would have been 4 years ago, was like a massive door opening because at the time I was pretty isolated. I knew nobody on the Wirral who was going through what I was going through. I did have some family friends who had experienced similar things, but to meet Mark, and he put me onto various services and things that I could access, and we became friends. And, you know, outside of the Beyond Recovery project, you know, it's, we support each other, and we actually have two other people on the team as well who are not very well at the moment. And it's what the sort of unique structure we have is that whenever one, two, three, or all of us are unwell, we can all support each other. So we've actually created a mini support network within ourselves. But the other thing I would say is that what we've created is it feels to me like something that could be replicated. So I would encourage any people out there who know a couple of people going through similar things, why not give something like this a go? Because we started off sort of wet behind the ears. We didn't know what we were doing, and we sought advice, and we made connections. We went out there plugging it, and it's turned out into a massive success story. And, you know, it's been great for our self-esteem, our confidence, and I think it's a real success story. And it would be great to see, you know, other people in the local area, you know, feeling confident enough to you know, have a little go at it and see what they can do. And we've relied upon fundraising and bid writing, and the whole journey, if you like, has been like Mark said, a constant learning process. And it's been lovely to have the support we've had, and so many people have been encouraging. No one's been negative or sort of stood in our way. It's been a really positive experience for all of us, and I feel very proud of it. And it's been great for me.
Mark mentioned he did the meditation. There'll be some people listening to this who've heard many people on this show who've used things like jogging and sport, you know, strenuous physical activity to almost get them out of wherever they're at as well. What you're talking about is something very different. You're talking about sort of this collective mentality, if you like, working together, writing, reading together, working on a project together as well. Mark's got the meditation. What is it? Do you do anything else outside of it?
Yeah, so going back to what you just mentioned, I am of the sort of physical exercise route. So I've recently completed a triathlon over in Edge Hill, and that was that again brought me on leaps and bounds because, you know, it was with a group of people who were all really nice and supportive. So we built up slowly from just doing a run once a week to then adding in a swim and a cycle, and then eventually building up to exercising five times a week, to a point where you were pretty knackered at the end of it. You know, I can't speak highly enough of that because I'd always wanted to do more exercise when I was unwell, but I felt, you know, going to a rugby club, you've got to drink 6 pints after the match, and for somebody on, you know, high doses of psychiatric medicine, that's probably not the best thing to do. So so finding something like a triathlon club where, you know, everybody's very health orientated, and, you know, you might have a pint at the end of the race, but that's it. That's perfect for me. So I've got another couple of events coming up, a couple of 10Ks and another triathlon. And I should mention as well that I raised over £1,000 for Calm for the triathlon as well, which is a mental health charity, which
Absolutely.
Is close to my heart, having fundraised a couple of times for them in the past. So as Mark said, just go out there and try as many things as you can, and, you know, one person's meditation could be another person's painting or riding a bike. So just try things. That's what I think we would both say.
Did either of you try anything that didn't work? The people said, oh, give that a go, and you thought, oh, it's not for me, or I can't get into it?
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you failed at what you were doing.
Mark brought me to a meditation class, and I went a couple of times, and I found it very difficult to switch my mind off. And I know it's something that you have to, you know, keep up with and keep going, but I just couldn't switch my mind off and channel it. But Mark, on the other hand, you know, benefits a lot, I think, from it. And what do you think?
I like the idea that Mark tried the triathlon and thought, no, this isn't for me.
For me, it's more kind of art. It just was never my forte in school, if I'm honest. I'm much better at writing, I think, than I am at art. So, I have tried art classes, but it's just not really my thing. So, I mean, some people obviously find it really therapeutic, very beneficial, which is, you know, great. Keep on with that. If art's your thing, go for it. Keep doing that. But for me, it's more, I would say, writing that's more my forte and something I enjoy a lot more than picking up a paintbrush.
Or swimming and running and cycling.
Well, I do a little bit of swimming once a week with a friend. I have been the last few months, which I find quite enjoyable. And, walking, I do group walks now and again. So I do like some form of exercise. But if you said go and play rugby on a January afternoon, I'd say no way.
There's loads of information and links to websites and organisations through the Beyond Recovery booklet, which is out now. There's also loads of links on social media as well, various different Twitter handles as well. Do you have like a... are they certain types of people, or is it just people who offer certain insights into the world of mental health that you click on those links for?
On the blog site.
Yeah.
So they have been compiled by Ed, who is one of the guys that can't make it today. And he's scoured far and wide the internet for resources and local services. So I know he's particularly keen on what's going on in America in terms of, you know, the new research and alternative ways of improving your mental health. But then we've also got the local services up there as well, if anyone should access them.
Absolutely. And people can also find out via the blog, the regularly updated blog as well, beyondrecoveryblog.wordpress.com. That's beyondrecoveryblog.wordpress.com. Or to get a hard copy of the booklet.
Yep.
Probably the best thing is to send us an email, which is beyondrecovery2012@gmail.com.
Brilliant stuff. And what we'll do is we'll mention that email address in a few moments' time, and we'll also get links up on our social media. Thank you for your time today, gents. Really appreciate you coming on. Dominic Martin and Mark Webster from the Beyond Recovery team. We'll give you those email addresses again at the end of the programme. It's Mental Health Monday.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Okay, so it's Radio City Talk. It's Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. We often talk on the programme about how people engage with mental health services and mental health awareness. One of the key ways of being able to do that is through sport. And there is one sport in particular over the last 5-6 years which has really got to grips with mental health. And it's all about state of mind. We're talking about rugby league. There was a really tragic loss of a key player. If you don't know your rugby league, a guy called Terry Newton, who was a real superstar of the game, and he took his own life in 2010. And ever since, the sport has reacted in a way which has been absolutely commendable and has been way ahead of the curve in regard to how people talk about mental health. There is a huge series of events taking place this week and some great advice out there from the State of Mind campaign under the hashtag this year, Let It Out. And we're joined by one of the co-founders and trustees of State of Mind, Dr. Phil Cooper. Phil, thank you for your time. We really appreciate you coming on Mental Health Monday.
No problem. Thanks a lot for the invite. Appreciate it.
You have been ahead of the curve on this one as well. I'm a Wigan Warriors fan myself. I saw Terry Newton play many, many times myself, and he was a real superstar, tough tackling guy, real man's man. And I think when he died, that really opened the floodgates to people talking about mental health in a different way, didn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I think it took the sport a bit by surprise, a bit like Gary Speed in football, I think. But yeah, it sort of galvanised a few people to get together to think about how the NHS potentially and the sport of rugby league could get together to try and prevent future tragedies. So, again, liaising with myself working in the NHS, not a lot of blokes will naturally come to an NHS location. But you'll certainly find lots of blokes in sports clubs, whether it's rugby league or football or any sport, really. So to actually get people to a venue where you can have a conversation that's on their terms about a subject that interests them is a sort of massive plus, really, and it's helped us massively using the sport of rugby league.
Yeah, and rugby league has absolutely adopted this as a thing, hasn't it? Super League and State of Mind are two peas in a pod now.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, again, very early on, I mean, I think one of our first targets was perhaps have a conference about mental health, but it soon sort of morphed into why don't we ask the governing body if they'd agreed to give us a round of fixtures, you know, focusing on mental fitness and, you know, alongside physical fitness that, you know, top athletes will sort of display every week. They said they would certainly do so if we could do an education session for the top clubs. So we did that education session. Players really got where we were coming from. They either knew people or who'd experienced difficulties or they'd had them themselves. And it was a bit like a permission to speak scenario, really, where at the end of the session, lots of those players and coaches and officials would come up to us and say, we know so-and-so, and it's really, really good what you're doing. So the players really bought into it very, very quickly and supported us on Twitter and Facebook all over the place. And it sort of helped us with a big impetus before we began going into, you know, the community clubs by using former players with those lived experiences of mental health problems, such as Danny Sculthorpe and plenty of others. Because people come into a sports club and see the former stars. It's an easy sell.
Yeah, and I wonder whether or not there's a natural inclination for organisations or for people in general to kind of think, well, fine, yeah, absolutely, but then if you put it into a dressing room environment, it gets lost amid the jokes and the banter and everything that goes in between. But actually, what you're saying there is that when you did take it into the dressing rooms, it hit home with people and it hit home with the right people as well.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we actually wrote the session, we tailored it to the rugby league professionals. So we had former players such as Brian Carney from Sky, had Terry O'Connor, who was a big Wigan Warriors player, and he's quite active over at Widnes Vikings now. They were like, you know, really, really crucial to sort of get the tone of it right. So obviously we'd have a mess about doing it, but we'd set people on a bit of an emotional roller coaster by obviously talking about Terry's death, but then, you know, we sort of mess about how we do lots of different things and just take it in a light-hearted way that we knew that would be interesting for the players, you know, completely different from what they'd ever experienced before. And as I say, the feedback from the players was, you know, phenomenal, really. And they, you know, the link up with the round of fixtures. Now, when we give players T-shirts to warm up in the State of Mind round, we don't get them back because we're still training them through the season and, you know, tweet pictures out through the year. And that's great for us, like getting the brand out there, but also normalising that mental fitness is absolutely crucial, you know, for peak performance in sport.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Dr. Phil Cooper with us, co-founder and trustee of State of Mind. There's actually an event taking place later on today, heading into the Halliwell Jones Stadium in Warrington. There's been a walk that's gone on throughout the course of the weekend. Time to move. It'll be at the stadium at around about 5 o'clock, setting up through the Sankey Valley just after 3 o'clock this afternoon as well. There's a stadium step challenge as well, all part of this weekend, and the fact that State of Mind and Rugby League working together to raise the issue of mental health. I guess, Dr. Phil, this is something which you could transfer into any other sport. What other sports have maybe come to you and said, would this work for football? Would this work for cycling? Would this work in our environments?
Yeah, very much so. Absolutely. The template's completely transferable. We've been to Arsenal and West Ham United in the last 12 months, been down to London, Scottish Rugby Union, been over in Ireland to Gaelic football and hurling clubs. So players just get it, really. The issues that players experience, either your top athletes, anyone playing a sport at any level really will get it. If you're injured and you're a top player and it's really, really difficult being out of that squad and being with your mates, if you're there at your community club and you're injured and you can't train with your mates either, that's exactly the same principle. If you get injured and can't play anymore or work commitments get in the way, it's exactly the same thing. You miss it. Blokes certainly miss the crack with their friends, just as women do in any sort of sporting scenario.
Yeah, and in terms of the pathways that people might be on having listened to one of your sessions, is it about sort of, I don't know, building people's resilience through those sessions, making people think differently? Maybe that puts them on a different path. But presumably as well, you'll get people who'll be in those sessions and going, this is chiming with me so strongly that I need to now, you know, have a one-to-one session, or I feel like I need to take this further. What do you offer in that regard?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. People do want to actually they recognise issues for themselves if they didn't recognise them before in a session. We've been in the process of developing projects with Widnes Vikings and Warrington Wolves and Salford Red Devils recently about a men's mental fitness programme called Offload. And what that means is there's like 10 fixtures, if you will, 40 minutes each way. First half's around how professional coaches deal with players in terms of managing them, their mental and physical fitness throughout the club. So it becomes you're inducted into a club environment. You're looking at coaching techniques from John Wooden, the basketball coach from many years ago, through to Jose Mourinho or Pep Guardiola, looking at how they challenge negative thinking in players, how coaches like at St. Helens introduced yoga sessions for their players after they'd played a big game last year, again, in terms of relaxing players after a performance, but also learning how to manage that anxiety before performing on the big stage, week in, week out. All those things that add up to improved performance, mental fitness. We get to the young squads, the academy squads, and get them to sort of start thinking about being mentally fit from a very, very young age. And, you know, that's talking to people, tell people how you feel, helping other people out, and not bottling stuff up, you know, so you do let it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. Obviously, you're so closely associated with rugby league. Some people might be missing some of the phrases that you use in there. You're using almost rugby league phrases and things associated with the games, aren't you, to make it sort of more relatable as well. There's a really helpful 10 ways to look after your state of mind piece of advice through your website. And I'll just read them out now, because I think it's one of those things which you can do as a rugby league player, a football player, tennis player, Gaelic football, or just a fan, a man, woman on the street. Talk about your feelings. Eat well, keep in touch, take a break, accept who you are, keep active, drink sensibly, ask for help, do something you're good at, and care for others. That's quite a simple list, isn't it, I guess? I guess people can tick or cross up by each of those, depending on how they're getting on in life. But they're all relatively simple things to do, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. Don't cost you any money. I mean, again, we're doing this walk, doing the walk over the weekend and finishing it off this afternoon. Again, didn't cost me anything to walk from Widnes to St. Helens on Saturday. It was a lovely day, of course. And great just talking for two or three hours with other people, just you know, talking about different issues and how they wind down. Eating as well as you can, keeping as active as you can. Doesn't really matter what your situation is as well. I've done a wheelchair challenge with people with a triple amputee going from Hull to Manchester. So different situations. You know, you can sort of work around them to try and keep as active as you possibly can. But yeah, we're trying to instill those mental fitness techniques to everybody, really, whether that's professional athletes or anyone who just, you know, anyone in the street really can sort of do any of those things.
Brilliant stuff. And I know we've got Danny Sculthorpe on the show next week, who's going to talk about his own personal journey through this. So I'll be asking him about his thoughts on the State of Mind campaign. If people type in State of Mind into things like social media and into search engines, the whole pages and everything that you've got up online is there for people to click onto. What would be their first port of call for you, Dr. Phil? Where should people head to?
Yeah, if you just Google State of Mind, you'll come up with stateofmindsport.org, which is the website. You'll hit our homepage, which has Rugby League and also Rugby Union. Our colleagues in Ireland, it's been adapted in Ireland, so State of Mind Ireland, and also State of Mind in Australia with the National Rugby League in Australia. So you'll have a number of different choices. But the Rugby League one for the State of Mind round Let It Out weekend is probably your first choice. That'll be the top one to hit. And then it'll take you to a whole range of different information around loss and, you know, options for you to get help and support for a variety of issues. But certainly if, you know, you've experienced any loss, and most people will at some point, there's lots of information on our the About section. You'll just see all those different sections where you can get help and support. So
brilliant stuff. It's a wonderful resource, and people should check it out if they want to find out more information, rugby league fan or not, and the hashtag Let It Out. Dr. Phil, brilliant stuff, and we'll catch up with you, I'm sure, very soon. As we mentioned, Danny's on the show next week as well, so we'll be talking some more about the State of Mind campaign, and hopefully we'll point a few more people in your direction too. We really appreciate you coming on the programme.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
That's Dr. Phil Cooper, co-founder and trustee of State of Mind. You're with Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
And that wraps up another show. Thank you to everybody who's been checking out Mental Health Monday, sharing their stories via the email mick@radiocity.co.uk. Got a story that you want to share? Drop us an email via that email address, and we could be talking about you, your maybe campaign, your organisation, just like the Beyond Recovery team, or just like State of Mind here on Radio City Talk. mick@radiocity.co.uk. Thank you to everybody who's downloaded this as a podcast. If you want to like, share, give us at least 3 stars. That will be absolutely ideal. And check out our website, radiocitytalk.co.uk. Click on the Mental Health Monday link there, and Mental Health Monday returns next week.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.